Amen. We're excited. This morning I want to minister on standing in the place of victory. Look at your neighbor and say, standing in the place of victory. So 9.5-year-old Johnny, you know, that's the age you got a lot of intellect going on. He was invited to go to Sunday school for the very first time by his neighbor. His mom said, yes, you can go. So he went to church, and when he came home in the afternoon, his mama said, what did you learn? And he said, oh, the teacher told us a wonderful story about a 5-star general named Moses and how he was heading his battalion across the desert of Egypt. And they were being chased by the tanks and the infantry armies of Pharaoh. And when he got up to the Red Sea, he got on the phone. He called some helicopters and they flew in. And then the Green Berets landed and they parachuted. And then they constructed a metal portable bridge over the Red Sea. And they began to cross frantically. And when they got to the other side, the tanks and the army of Egypt was following them. Then Moses got on the phone and he called some B-52 bombers. Come on. They flew in and they blew up the bridge. Johnny's mommy looked at him and said, Johnny, do you expect me to believe that? He said, well, Mom, if I told you what they told me this morning, you wouldn't have believed that either. Come on, somebody. God does mighty things, amen? This morning, this sermon is not a sermon of gloom. It is a sermon of victory. It is not a sermon of defeat. Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was to encourage us and teach us. I believe every story in the Word of God is true. And God wants you to stand in the place of victory in your life and the victories in His Word. Can I get an amen? Reading from Psalm 60:12 on the screen from the Voice Translation. Only through God can we be successful. It is God alone who will defeat our enemies and bring us the victory. Someone say the victory. Next verse I've chosen to begin with, 1 Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and all that is in the earth is yours. Someone say it's His. And you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. Someone says He reigns over all. And in your hand is power and might. And in your hand, God, is to make great and to give strength to all. In God's hand, there is strength to give you this morning. If you receive it, lift one hand to heaven and say amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Do what only you can do. Speak into the ears of my friends this morning. Speak what I don't even say. Whisper to them right where they live. Speak in a language only they can understand. Use your servant, Lord, and use this podium to speak your word today because your word brings life. Let no one leave unchanged today. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen and amen. We're beginning a series on possessing the land, possessing promises. And God had promised Israel that Israel had a land. In fact, He said, go up into the land. We'll talk about that next week. And just see what it's like. See if the people there are great or small. God always knows what the future is. But this series is about you possessing your dreams, your victory, your purposes, and taking what God has said is yours. Can I get an amen? But when they went in, which next week is mostly what we'll deal with there, it says on the screens where you are, Numbers 13 and 33, and there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak. Someone say giants. That came from the giants, and we were like what? How were we like grasshoppers? In our own sight. And so we were in their sight. You see, there was no one that interviewed a giant and said, did you see those people coming in to spy out the land? What did they look like to you? Oh, they look just like grasshoppers. No one said that, but their perspective about their own self said what was untrue. If you and I are going to receive what God has promised for us and to do through us, we cannot visit the funhouse mirror. Did you ever go to a funhouse mirror at a carnival? I can still hear my mama laughing and my daddy as they take us into the funhouse mirror. And you know, it'd make you skinny or tall, or it'd make you big, or it'd make your face distorted. And it's real fun in a funhouse mirror at a carnival, but it is tragic when you and I take the filter of our own perception about our potential, our destiny, our dreams, and how God is going to use us. Can you say amen? That kind of filter is distorted. And God said, go spy out what I am going to give you. God had already determined he was going to give it. Check it out. And we feel super judgmental, if we're not reading the book of James, about the spies going into Israel and thinking that way. But how many times do you and I hear a promise of freedom? Come on. A promise of healing, a promise of prosperity, and we don't believe it. And God says, I want to give this to you. I want to do something new in your life, but we don't believe it. We look at the obstacles. We look at our past failures. We look at our weaknesses, and we say, I am just a grasshopper in my own sight. And that's not a grasshopper like the little karate kid. That was a good thing. That's a grasshopper, meaning this small compared to what God's going to do. But God says, to you and I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future. Many people will say, well, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And that's true of scammers. Can I get an amen? And that's true of most infomercials. Can I get an amen? And that's true of any get-rich-quick scheme. As a wealthy person told me, we don't fall for those. That's not how we got rich. You know, those are too good to be true. They are. But when it comes to God, my friend Chris posted that this week, and I love it, by Graham Cook. If too good to be true, if it's not too good to be true, it's not God. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. And when I look about this room and I see your faces and some of your stories, I'm a very involved lead pastor. You know that. I'm all up in everybody's life, and I love it that way. It's been that way for the last 10 years. But some of you I don't know, but the majority of you I do know and call you by name. And this is what I want to say. If I would have told you 4 years ago what God would have accomplished in you, you would have said, that's too good to be true. If I had told you where you are seated today, Donna, I think about you, and said, this is what God's going to do, you would have said, that sounds too good to be true. But how many know he has shown himself to be faithful? He has shown himself to be able. And we've got to stand in the places of victory of what God has already accomplished. Hallelujah. And those men we'll talk about next week that went in to spy the land and all the wealth they saw and all the fruit and all the potential. But when it came down, even with God, listen to this, guaranteeing the victory, they revolted and said, the result of this is not worth my warfare. I'm going to tell you, God is looking for some sons and daughters that will say, I don't care how much I've got to take down. I don't care how much I've got to get involved. I want everything God has for me and my family. It may be hard at times. It may be difficult at times. But I'm going to keep my eyes on the result. Can someone say amen? And our first point this morning is on your screen, it would be gut-wrenching to realize that our insecurities could blind us to what God has already promised for us. How gut-wrenching. That you and I could be blinded. What the Lord is saying to you and I this morning, I always take his word first and eat it and see where it might solve my insecurity. God is saying, do not allow a self-sabotaging spirit to rob you of your harvest. You can't grab the fruit of today and tomorrow while you're holding on to your personal insecurities at the same time. What shall we then say? How many raging seas does he have to part to make us a believer? How many times do we have to see him to lower mountains in our life to make us believe it? If he is the creator and the sustainer of the universe, who shall ever be against us? So will we let our insecurities win, or will we walk in the power of the one whose track record is flawless? I say yes and amen. We will, if you agree. Give him a shout of praise this morning. I'll get to my next point, but let me build a case first. I have four, in case you're wondering. God, the creator and sustainer of the earth, He says the verse on your screen, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. I love that, brothers and sisters, in your life, to believe that God can do still something amazing in it. That which is formless, that which seems void, that which seems dark, that last verse is a clarion call of faith for you. The Spirit of God was moving and hovering and roaring over that which was dark. And the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is still hovering over every dark and chaotic moment in your life. Everything that is unfinished. If it's not done, He's not done. It's not finished yet. Hallelujah. Isaiah 45:18 says on the screen, for the Lord is God, and He created the heavens and the earth, and He put everything in place. Everyone say everything in place. He made the world to be lived in. I love this. Not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, He says, and there is no other. And He didn't make your life to be a place of empty chaos. He didn't make your life to be a life where there is always trouble and there is always emptiness. God introduces Himself to Israel, and God introduces Himself to us as the Creator. Someone say, He is the Creator. He created. He gives us a first impression in Genesis 1 and says, I am Creator. You know, first impressions are important. That's why you don't wear your PJs to a job interview. Come on. Wear them to Walmart if you must. Go ahead, okay? But do not wear them to an interview. That's why you want to make a good first impression on your future in-laws. I remember my precious mother-in-law when I was dating my husband before I married him back in 1979. Said, you're going down to visit Aunt. I'll leave that blank. And said, she was going to talk about you. So don't you leave your room messy. I appreciated that kind of wisdom from an older woman. Said, whatever you have to do, leave it spick and span, because she'll tell all the family. I tell you, when I came out of that room that morning, I met them because we got laid in that night in San Diego, El Cajon area. And they said, boy, you were drying your hair. And I had a lot of hair back there, and it wasn't hair I added on. Come on, somebody. And I was drying my hair a long time, and they said, woo, you do have a lot of hair. And I didn't tell them. I left the dryer going while I was scrubbing the floor. And then I was over there cleaning the inside, and I made up the bed. I put a little tulip upon the pillow. I thought, hey, Aunt, you know what? You ain't going to talk about me. I'm going to give a good first impression. Come on, somebody. God gives a first impression, but He is not categorized by anything He created. He's not a tree. He's not a river. He's not a butterfly. Anything else that exists because He created it. Romans 1:20 says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Since the earth is created, people can look to the sky and they can look to the earth, everything that God has made, and they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal and divine nature. The reason I love that, my daddy always says, baby, when the trees are dancing, even now in the state that he is, he'll say, did you see any trees dancing today? That means a tornado's coming. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen a lot of trees dance when there was no tornado. Going down toward Cleveland State to where we used to be, there's a place I passed Josh on the side, and every time I go, it's like the leaves are doing this all the way across. And I just say to God, there goes your trees dancing, saying, I'm going to give glory to the one who made me. I'm going to give glory to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Somebody give God a shout of praise. And He distinguishes Himself from everything, even the constraints of time, for everything He has created. Number two, my point today on the screen, Israel clearly forgot that they belonged to the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. So when He told them what He was giving them, when He said, I've already made it, I've already secured it, it's yours, I just need you to go in and claim it, they forgot who they belong to. You and I cannot forget that we belong. We don't belong to Muhammad. Can I get an amen? We don't belong to Allah. We don't belong to Yoda or all of his other star galaxy friends. We don't belong to any of them. We belong to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, He created time. He preceded time, Chris. You can't create time unless you existed before time. He is eternal. In fact, the Latin verse for creator is ex nihilo. When it says He created, it means out of nothing. Someone say out of nothing. Now that is so cool, because people on earth will invent things, but they will never create anything. Never. They'll never. Because they've taken materials supplied to them. I thank God for the invention of automobiles. Is anybody with me? Just think, you didn't have to ride your horse up here today in dust and wash it off and hook it up there in the parking lot. Thank God that you woke up with electricity. Can I get an amen? I grew up in camp meetings when there was no electricity. Mike Hall and I were talking about why mama, Donna, you remember that? Florida camp meeting, no air, burning up, sweating like a bunch of crazy people, worshiping God with our church fans. I want to tell you, I'm thankful somebody invented electricity. Can I get an amen? I'm thankful the automobile was invented. I'm thankful the airplane. But what I know is no one created that. They invented that by materials that God had already provided. And Romans 4 and 17, he's not only the creator of life, he is the sustainer of life. That means anything he gives me bear, anything he provides for me, he is going to sustain it. God, how are you going to sustain? God, how am I going to keep this money in my bank account? I will sustain it, says the Lord. How are you going to keep me in good health? I will sustain you, says the Lord. I am he who created. And the Hebrew word for create is bara. Everyone say bara. People can't bara. You can't create. Oh, you can refigure. You can recalculate. You can redesign. You can transform something into something else. But you cannot ex nihilo in the Latin. You cannot create something out of nothing. Why should that mean so much? Because God doesn't need anything to be given to him but your trust and your surrender. He has a plan. He has a miracle. He has a way of provision. Can you say amen? So when we alphabetize our plans before God, Lord, the way I'm seeing it, you have four choices in this situation that I'm facing today. And I have laminated them for you, Most High God. And I have alphabetized them for you. Here they are in a book, and I put them in big font if you're like Pastor Rhonda and you can't read a lot. So it's in big font, Most High God. And this is what I'm seeing. This is your choices. What I'm going to suggest to you is that you do this and you do that. You come in the front door, and God said, don't you dare tell me to come in the front door. If I want to come through the back door in a place you never thought of and do something you never dreamed, you better let me be God and do what only God can do. Hallelujah. Just think of all the miracles we would not have in the Bible. We wouldn't have the walls falling down at Jericho because no one would have submitted that plan to God. We wouldn't have had the crossing of the Red Sea because nobody would have submitted that God to God. We would not have had Jesus throwing spit into mud and putting it on a man's eyes, and we would have never had the open blinded eyes. We would have never charted the course for the woman with the issue of blood to just make her way in through the crowd and touch the very hem of his garment. But we have these miracles that speak of bara, creation of God, that says, I can do above what you are thinking, above what you are praying, above what you are hoping. My name is Creator. Someone praise him. He created the heavens, Gerald, and the galaxies. And you know what? No Obi-Wan Kenobi tried to stop him. No Guardians of the Galaxy, even little Mr. Groot didn't dance through when he was creating the galaxy because Groot didn't exist. Some of you say, what's she talking about? Watch Guardians of the Galaxy. You get it. You see, all of these things, there was no cosmic struggle. There was nothing to resist him. He did what he wanted to do. His name is Creator, strong and mighty. Everything beautiful you see, don't forget you belong to him. Every time you see the Isles of Hawaii, they're beautiful. He created that. The mountaintop of Everest, to the islands of the Arctic Ocean, to the top of the Swiss Alps, to the deserts of Mojave, to the colorful landscape of the Grand Canyon, to the shores of Greenland, and to the ice of Iceland. He made them all, and that's who you belong to. Can you say amen? He made all the exotic animals. I'm making a point here. I mean, he made the animals in Africa, the lions, and the bears of Pigeon Forge. Come on, somebody. He created it all. So when I submit to him, this is what you should do, oh Creator. I'm trying to stand in my place of victory, but I'm just going to tell you, it's wind down. We did have four choices, but now it's late and you only got two choices. So this is what you should do. Oh, I did not think about that, Rhonda. You know, I didn't think about that, but where were you when I created the long trunk for the elephant? What would have been your idea? What about the stripes of the zebra? You'd had them going this way. I went them this way. You would have said to the giraffe, you just stay low, but I put the giraffe way up and stretched his neck. You would have said to the hyena, don't laugh like that. you would have said to the hippo, don't walk like that. I always say God created the hippo to walk that way. So when you're full-blown about getting ready to be a birth out of your belly, women, people can look at you and say, isn't that darling? She's just like a hippo. Come on, somebody. God did all of this. He created light in the world to rotate perfectly. And he did all of this. So he says to you and I this morning, you can put your life into my hands. You can put your life into my hands. I ordered all of that, and I can order your steps too. I can heal what looks unhealable. I can do what looks unthinkable. You see, then God made man out of the very dust of the earth and breathed life from him and took a rib out of him. And my husband would have said that Adam looked at Eve and said, whoa, man, and loved her. And I believe personally that every morning after that, Eve counted the ribs of Adam to be sure God had not done it again. Come on. Because Eve would have taken care of that. Can I get an amen from every woman in the house? And he created a place for you, Bara, the creative power of God. Some of y'all gonna laugh about that later. He created a place for you. That was my husband's joke. He created a place for you, a home for you, a space for you on this earth that you would show forth his glory. And he just asked you this morning, stand in the place of victory. You'll understand it really when we get to the end. Stand in your place of victory and believe that just like he did all of that, he can right what is wrong in your life. He can move what is unmovable in your life. He can restore people. I've had him to do it with me, not only with my husband many years ago, but many people that the enemy just came in and divided us, and God came and restored us. Don't ever tell the creator and the sustainer of the universe that is not possible with you, because he will exceed what you have said. Someone give him a shout of praise this morning. You and I would have stepped out on day one, Cheryl, was avoiding chaos. I see nothing. Our creative team sometimes works on things, and we were working on the intro to our dinner theater. We created all these great things, great people, but when it came down, we were writing their lyrics, the sayings that the radio station manager, Steve, would do. I mean, we just kept throwing things out, and finally I said, I got nothing. Austin says, I got nothing. Chris says, I got nothing. Then Matthew says, I got nothing. When Matthew says it, we just said, let's go home. Come on. There is times you got nothing, but God will never just have nothing. But we would have looked at day one, we have thought there's nothing happening here. And maybe you're looking at your life right now and you think nothing's happening. I see nothing happening. Nothing's working. Nothing's going on. Nothing's being created out of this pain. Nothing is happening. Nothing. But God says to you, what he would have said to us if we'd walked in on day one or day two or day three or day four or day five, God would have turned to us and we said, I see nothing. He said, just wait to day seven. It's all going to make sense. I'm thankful there's some things in our life on day seven of God's victory. They are going to make sense because he is the God who creates order out of disorder. Someone praise him this morning. Hallelujah. Give him a big shout of praise. And he knew all about you, your quirks, your imperfections, your weaknesses, we'll end with that, your shortcoming, your negative talk. But he knew what his bara, his creative power could do in you. He chose this little gal, and don't make about me, but I can give you a litany of the reasons he should have never chosen me. Least knowledgeable of three children. My parents were even shocked when I came out of the gate as a young adult doing what I was doing. I mean, they believed in me. They're like, whoa. What's happened to her? Daddy said, Holy Ghost got a hold of her. And I said, yes, he did. God continually, just like in the beginning of time, takes what is not functioning in your life and makes it function. He takes what is out of order and brings it into order. His bara power not only creates out of something, out of nothing, but it takes something and turns it into something completely different. Is anyone in this room believing this morning for God to take something and to turn it, to create something beautiful, something powerful, something wonderful? Just shout hallelujah if you can. God continually creates direction out of our chaos. Tells us where to go. I don't know if I'm the only one that said, God, I don't know which way to go. I don't know what, not like left or right. I know that. I got GPS. Come on, people. But I don't know which way to go. And God always says, I'll make this order for you, daughter. I'll take brokenness, he says to you, and make something beautiful out of it. I am Bara. I'll take the past and move it, because God can transform a mess into a miracle. He is a God of order. We don't worship a day on the calendar. We have the God who created time out of nothing. We don't worship this idols made by man's hand. We worship the God who is the great I am, who created heaven and earth. We don't worship people, places, and things. That is not who we are. We worship the creator of everything that has ever existed or every will, and we belong to him. Give him a shout of praise in this house. You see, powers come and go. I was born in 1961. I have lived through 11 presidents, two who served two times, and they have all had their place in the White House. Some I might have agreed with more than others. Amen and hallelujah. But I will tell you this, in the time of Jesus, there was Pilate, Herod, there was Caesar and Nero, but none of them lived forever. Only one man lives forever so far. Powers come and go, but he remains the same. God is still on the throne, and God is in complete control of the universe. You may see things that worry you and concern you, and you want to hide with this woke thing. I had a fantastic conversation this week with Dr. B. Ryan was on the thread. It was a fun thread. I can't tell you what it was about. But in the middle of it, Dr. B. said something so powerful, because we were sharing some things, and I know Ryan was watching. The two preachers got to going, so we just kept throwing out nuggets. But Dr. B said this. He said, we think someday we can't wait to hear Moses and Elijah tell their stories, but the truth is they're going to want to hear about what was it like to pastor in the 21st century, to love people as the woke agenda raised, but that we kept flying high. The banner of Jesus is the only way to God. Hallelujah. Mother Nature has some strong power, and some think she has the most power. And yes, consider the power of the wind, which can span the absolute blast of an Arctic gale. Wind that can take a concentrated fury at 500 miles per hour, power enough to drive a blade of grass through a tree or pick up an entire building. That's pretty strong power. What about the power of lightning that can produce 27,000 degrees Fahrenheit of heat and reach over 3,000 million kilometers? That word, and go in 10 seconds, and a crack of lightning can be heard 18 miles away. That's quite a lot of power, but the greatest power is the one who created all powers, and one day every power will kneel before him. Somebody give Jesus a shout of praise. 1 Corinthians 8 and 6 says, for us there is one God, the Father, who is the ultimate source of all things and the goal of all our lives. There's one God. There's not many gods. And he is the ultimate source of all things, and he is the goal of our life. And there is one Lord, Jesus, the anointed, the liberating King. Through him all things were created, and by him we are redeemed. The greatest power in the world, under the world, above the world, is the power of the Creator. And the enemy will do everything to get you to stand in your places of defeat so he can discourage you, depress you, cause you to doubt and fear. But the good news, Isaiah 41 and 10 says, fear not, I am with you. Don't be dismayed. Don't give up. Don't retire. Don't resign. Don't surrender to anyone but Jesus. For God is able to help you, to strengthen you, and to lift you up, and to uphold you when the world seems like it's trying to pull you under. Can I get an amen? And the Lord would say to you in Isaiah 43, for this is what the Lord says, who created you, who formed you in your mother's womb. Fear not. Someone say, fear not. I have redeemed you. It doesn't matter how you were conceived. It doesn't matter what they said about you. It doesn't matter if you were born to parents who did not love God. What God is saying, I have already paid the price. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the water, it will not overwhelm you. I will cause the waters to succeed. I'm paraphrasing. When you walk through a fiery trial that seems to consume you, I will by my spirit extinguish the fire with my power. I'm going to tell you this morning, God wants you to know Jesus is greater than any God. He is greater than any man, and you belong to him. So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Somebody give him a shout of praise. Josh, come and help me. I'm not quite done, but just come create atmosphere, please, sir. I want to tell you this morning, in the words of Brandon Lake that I have paraphrased also, there is no one like him. You can't count the broken men he's given a second chance. You can't count how many sinners he has saved from Calvary to today. You can't count how many funerals he has ruined, because someday my husband is buried at a place where my mom is buried, my in-laws, my uncle, my cousin, my grandmother, my grandfather, all strong believers of faith. But someday every one of their funerals and every casket that was bought for them and every ground that they were put in, and my son in love, Angel, they're all buried at the same place, the same cemetery. But one day there shall come a trumpet of the sound of the Lord, and a voice shall sound that will wake the dead, and every casket will be put to zero as they rise ahead of us to meet the Lord in the air. He is holy. He is perfect. Somebody praise him. He's earth's healer. He's man's redeemer. He's the one who brings miracle. He does have thunder in his voice, wonder-working power in his side. And he's the only one that pulled off the greatest miracle of all time when the tomb was left empty and Jesus was at the right hand of the Father. He is holy, which means there's no mixture in this world. You're going to see a lot of mixture. Someone's for you one day, they're against you. Someone looks at you like they like you one day and they don't the next day. You wonder what they heard about you. I'm going to tell you, holy means there's no mixture in him. There's no good days and bad days. There's no fickleness. He's not going to love you today and hate you tomorrow. He is holy. He is God. And he is worthy of praise. Hallelujah. And this morning, our last two points come very close together. He can cross any boundary to reach his people. That's why you should stand in your place of victory. He can scale the highest mountain to rescue one of his kids. He's done it. I've seen it. I am a witness. He can knock down any wall that any enemy or flesh has built to divide you from someone. He can fly faster than you can fall. He'll always be underneath you to lift you back up. And he can wait longer than anyone can wait, expecting and waiting for a prodigal to despise his or own sins and come home. And he can divide and conquer and destroy any plan of the enemy conceived to take his people out. Can I get an amen? He can and he will not only pursue and overtake your enemy, he will conquer and he will bring back and recover that which you lost in the last battle of your life. He is able. Yes, he can, and yes, he will, and yes, he does. You belong to the creator of the ends of the earth. Let him hear your praise. And that's the place of victory you could stand in. That's where Israel should have stood. Number three on the screen on our points. We must recount the works God has done so that we can remind ourselves what he's about to do. We must recount his keeping mercies, his delivering power. We must steward his testimonies, so that we can find a place of victory. At a great battle in Israel's life, after he had a victory, Samuel took a stone and he said, "Here I lift my Ebenezer," which means from this point on, God has helped me. Someone say, from this point, God has helped me. You must recount to your children, to your friends, what God has done and build memorial. Memorial means a place where you focus people's memory upon the good. We build memorials to our defeat. Come on. We keep talking about it. We go to believe something. All we can think is, I know I'm not the only one that the enemy knows how to paint a tapestry of everything that might cause me pain. When it comes, I'll tell you what I do. Sometimes I'm looking out my window. I have two offices at my house, two rooms. I flip to offices because I work out of there. And I don't even say what he's just said to me. I'm covered by the blood. You shall not bring that back up to me to hurt me. You shall not remind me of that which almost took me out. I covered by the blood. That's all I've got to say. And never acknowledge it. We need to build memorials to the victories he has already performed. We need to build memorials to the moments of crisis that he got us out, the heartbreak we went through, the battle we overcame, the trial, the season of loss. We need to begin to tell ourselves, what are you telling yourself today? We'll really get into that next week. But if we forget the faithfulness of God, we lose faith. We need to stand on the vintage miracles of what God has already done, to believe that we can stand in victory. Someone give him a shout of praise. When you stand at a place of victory, you stand at a place where he's done mighty things. We'll leave that there. One of the places, when you say, I walked into the old building one day overwhelmed to pray, I just had my last prayer time there on Friday. That doesn't mean anything. I pray because I'm desperate, not because I'm holy. When I walked into that building, I was so overwhelmed about so many things. And the Lord just began to sing, He's been faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, His tender mercies I see. Even though I have questioned and failed to believe, He is faithful, faithful to me. If you believe it, just lift a hand and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come on, just say thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. It was a song my friend Joni sang, and so I played, and then God said, send her a message too, something she's going through. But God said, when have I ever failed you? Oh, people have failed you, but God hasn't. When have I ever failed you? There's two places I go. The first will bring up a picture. It's called 740 Walker Street, and it's a place I lived when I was going to Lee University. I had a better picture. It's still there. It's been revamped. It's a Hispanic center for Lee University now, but it still looks basically that way. Many times in hard battles, I've gone, let's leave on that picture, please. I've gone there and sat, and I've walked that porch. I've encountered homeless people. I've encountered people wanting rides. I've told them no. Because I was by myself, and it was men that could have been packing, and I didn't have my gun or my taser or my sword or my knife. Come on. Weapon of choice. My husband said, always be ready for however they come. If they come close, go with a knife. Far shoot. So I walk, and I would say, Lord God, here on this property, you did the unthinkable. You healed my heart. You got into the very fabric of who I was, and you healed my damaged emotions. And then you did the impossible. And I'd walk the ground every year before many events that we have. I don't want to tell you the time I'm going because I want to be there by myself. And thank you for that. But I always go at night when the sun's still up. And I'll walk for Queenford Day. There's many Queenford Days. I've just said, Lord, please help us, Father. September 7th. Please help us, Father. Please strengthen us, Father. You did miracles here. And Lord, I stand on the place where you did something so unthinkable. You healed my heart and you began to restore me to my husband. No one saw you come. And your word says you came down long ago and did things people never even dreamed of. And I'll stand there. You may not be able to go to a place, but you can go to a place in your mind. You can go where God did the impossible. And then at other scenes in my life, only one, I've gone to another building. This used to be the Cedar Valley Church of God. It's a big, big church on Dalton Pike now, but that was the old building. That's when the Lord restored my husband and I. And I remember one time in a tense battle that no one saw was going to move. I drove by myself over there, and I got in the parking lot, and I went and sat up against the door. Fortunately, nobody was there. Finally, someone came to clean. I said, I'll be leaving now. But I leaned up against the door, and I wept. And I said, I'm kneeling here on this property when you brought such a victory. You did the unthinkable, but God, I'm facing something I feel is even bigger right now. And no one thinks it's going to move, and all the spin doctors have said it's not going to move. But I serve the Lord, my God, who is able. I'm sorry for yelling, just close your ears, but give him a praise and I'll calm down for a minute. But I serve the God who is able. And I would pray in my favorite language, and I would pray in English because I was by myself. But I recounted the time, January 7th, 1984, when God did the unthinkable in a service and restored my husband. And I began to worship him. I cried for hours there. I didn't care who saw me. It was a place where I had victory before, and instead of standing in a place where there'd been defeat, I was going to stand in a place where there had been victory. Someone give him a praise. Hallelujah. I drove home completely drenched, was not eating as well. 3 days later,
to the glory of God alone. He did the unthinkable, what no one thought was possible. And he reversed the tables and cut off the gallows that Haman had built. And God gave victory, not by the hand of man, not by the hand of anyone else. God did what only God can do. You and I have got to stand in the place of victory. Give him praise for everything that he's done. You maybe cannot go to a building. You maybe cannot go to a place, but in your mind you can go to where God did the unthinkable, where God made a way where there was no way. Bear, you can't stand in those places of defeat, but stand in the place of victory, son. Stand in the place where God did for you. Wendy, don't stand in the place of your weakness. Candace, don't stand in the place of your weakness. Mish, stand in the place of victory. In Nehemiah 4, as I began to close, they're rebuilding the walls, and the enemy was approaching from a distance. And Nehemiah, it says that, Jimmy, the workers were exhausted, and Gerald, the enemy was approaching, and it was looking intense. And it said the people were scared, and the people said, they're going to come from every side against us. They were rebuilding what God told them to rebuild. They were doing what God said to do. But the enemies were approaching in every way they could. That's a whole nother thing. I love teaching Nehemiah. We'll continue to teach it. But for this moment, in this hour, I will say to you, Nehemiah did something very powerful. Misty, come stand right over here. He began to position his people in places of strength. Michael, come stand right here. He began to position his people in place of strength. Cheryl, come stand right here. He began to position his people in place of strength. Gail, would you come stand right here? Would you come stand right here? Joshua, would you come stand right here? Amanda, oh, that's not Amanda, that's Callie, I thought you were Amanda. Joshua, would you come on up? You're looking so stylish today. Would you stand right here? Amen, amen. Donna, would you come stand right here? He positioned his people in the places on the wall. Don't worry, I'm done. You're like, I'm not going to look at her. He positioned the people in the finished places, in that which was complete, right over there. He put them there. It says he positioned the families in the finished area. Bring up number 4, Ryan, if you would, and we'll read that before I finish. Stand in the places of victory in your life and let God's grace and power stand in the places that are incomplete. What we often do is we stand in the place of our insecurity. We stand in the place of our inadequacy. We stand in the places of the times and the seasons that did not make sense to us. We stand in the places where things did not go the way we wanted them to go, our loss, our defeat, and we build a memorial to that instead of a memorial to every time. God is always faithful, but every time we saw it, what was so powerful, he put the families here, but behind the families, it says Nehemiah put guards behind each area that was incomplete, the holes in the wall, the breaches in our faith, the gaps where we say, God, I'm trying to believe you, but this was super hard what I faced, and I don't know that I can. Those places, he put guards, so when the enemy was approaching from the horizon and the enemy's coming boldly against Israel, they look and they see the people standing in this area, but what they don't know, they see the gaps and they think they're easy prey, but in the gaps was the strong soldiers of Israel. In your gaps is the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the victory of God, the strength of Holy Spirit. Somebody stand and give him a praise if you just stay here. Come on, give him a loud shout of praise. Holy Spirit, just keep standing. I'm almost done. Holy Spirit says, go ahead, Gail. You stand in the place of victory. Let me stand in the place that's incomplete. Go ahead, Joshua. You stand in the places where God has accomplished and done mighty things in Donna, but you let me stand in the incomplete areas. Let me stand in the places that are unfinished, Cheryl. The enemy wants to move Cheryl over here to what doesn't make sense. The enemy wants to move Cheryl here to things that are unfinished. He wants her to move and live from places like me and you as well. He wants to do that we can't make sense of. But God says, no, you move back to every victory I've ever given you, and I will stand in the area of that which is incomplete, that which is weak, that which you don't understand. Somebody give him a shout of praise. He wants Misty to move over. Thank you, Misty. And stand in places that are incomplete, because we all have them. I have them too. And things I don't understand, I can't make sense of. So when I go to pray, that's all I can see. But he says, no. Don't stand in that. Go back and stand in what you know I've done and begin to quote it out loud, because the enemy hates to hear it. Begin to give God praise for everything's done. First of all, I thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. I'm a child of the Most High God. I thank you when I invited Jesus into my heart, hell lost another one, and forever I'm saved. I thank you, Lord, that when I went through loss, you see, he wants Chuck and I and others in this room that have lost people, he wants us to stand. He thought he was probably going to take me down. He didn't know who was standing in my incomplete places and say, just go grieve till the day you die. And Jesus says, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to stand in the place of victory. You're going to stand and give praise to the faithfulness of the Lord Most High. Someone give him a shout of praise. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Give them a hand as they go. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm done preaching. And I'm going to pray for your ears, because I screamed this morning. But you're going to be good. You're going to be fine. Where are you standing this morning? Are you standing in the place of victory? The things that he's already accomplished and you've seen him done? Are you standing at your 740 Walker Street? Are you standing on the standing and sitting on the back road of Dalton, Georgia at a church where God did the impossible? You've got places in your mind like that. You said, I don't have anything dramatic like you. Oh, yes, you do. Think about it. You're alive, you're breathing, you're here. Where are you standing? Are insecurities taking out the promises of God we'll get to next week and how he wants to use you? Or are you standing and let him stand? Spirit of the Lord loves you. Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, he loves you more than you can imagine. My number one thing I'm thankful after the cross is my relationship with him. I encountered him at 4 years old, and I'm thankful. I love you so much, Holy Spirit, because he stands consistently in my weak places. Who I am outside of him is zero. This is not any talent. This is not any gifting. This is him and him alone. Where are you standing this morning? If you've been standing in a place of not where you should be standing, this is a moment to change that. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just for a moment. Just for a moment. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you want to claim him as yours, this is a perfect moment. I would not embarrass you, but I just want to pray with you, and we'll all pray with you. I won't point you out, but this is your moment. Would you lift your hand if you want to come back to Christ this morning right where you are? Would you just lift your hand? God bless you. Any others? God bless you. God bless you. Everyone repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I come to you today. Forgive me of all my sins. I choose life. I choose you, Jesus. I confess I've been away from you. Receive me today. The past behind me, the future before me. Today is the best day of the rest of my life. Now, can you open your eyes and give God a hand clap of praise for one that prayed? This morning, in our closing prayer, if you have come to the other side of addiction, I just need about two. I want you to come down here and stand facing the congregation. I'm gonna build a line of victory. If you've overcome the loss of losing someone and you're here today, would you come and stand up here and face this way? Come on, come on. I'm just needing a line of victory. I want you to face that way. I want you to face that way. If you've overcome a mountain, I maybe not even call this morning. Maybe a sickness or disease. Susan, come up and join them. You have.
If there's something in your life you have overcome and you can stand on the shoulders of that victory, I want you to come up here and stand. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise for all of these? So this morning, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask, first of all, if you're facing an insurmountable mountain today and you need prayer, I want you to come and stand before them. But coming along with them, I'm asking everyone to come and to just stand in front of one of these people, grab their hand, and begin to pray for victory for this house and for people you encounter this week. There's so many of them, we may not have enough to meet them, but I just felt the Lord said, let's come stand in front of them. Let's join them in prayer. You don't have to hold their hand if you don't want to, but stand in front of them and begin to make a prayer, a memorial. Come, if you will, from all over the house. Come on, come on. Everyone come, leaders especially, worship team especially. Come on and find someone you can stand in front of, someone you can stand in front of, someone you can make a place in front of, someone that you can believe God for, someone that you can know that God can do exceedingly abundantly above ask right now, and they're going to pray. You that are out there, would you just stretch your hands this way and begin to pray for God to do the unthinkable? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We stand together for people that are needing victory. We stand together for people that are needing overwhelming joy, Lord. We believe right now, God, that this week we're going to meet people that need to stand in their place of victory. They need to stand in their place of joy. They need to stand in their place of peace, Lord. And right now we come into agreement for people we will meet this week, Lord. There are many victories along the front of this church, Father. And we pray this absolute victory would flow into others' lives this week. We pray for prodigals. We pray for those facing addiction. We pray for those who are facing sickness, who are facing disease. Lord, we pray for those who need a miracle in your life. Lord, let the places of victory we stand in today be an encouragement to everyone we meet, Lord, to everyone we encounter, Lord. Do what only you can do, Father. Accomplish what only you can accomplish. Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory. Lord, do what only you can do, Father. Accomplish it by your grace, and by your mercy, and by your peace. Lord, we know you're the creator and sustainer of the earth, and we know that you are able. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.